This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon, it's Wednesday, February 12th, and I'm Megan McNamara bringing you RCR's Daily Brief. Kicking things off, Paul Brennan will deliver the RCR Bites news. Then we'll be hearing from Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters, who spoke to Paul last night on a number of important topics, fluoridation and the gene technology bill. So stay tuned for that. We'll finish up, of course, with Natalie Cutler-Welsh and RCR Signpost. Let's get started.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Brennan for RCR. New Zealand First has introduced a members bill that would require local authorities to hold binding referendums before fluoridating drinking water. If passed, the bill would repeal the Health Fluoridation of Drinking Water Amendment Act 2021. New Zealand First leader Winston Peters said the bill would restore the fundamental right of communities to decide on fluoridation. However, Health Minister Simeon Brown said the government was unlikely to change its current stance. Recent evidence has suggested that fluoride is a neurotoxin and has been linked to lower intelligence scores in children as well as other health issues. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's pick for Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr., has vowed to ban fluoridation of drinking water across the US. In other New Zealand news, Climate Minister Simon Watts, Agriculture Minister Todd McClay, and MP Mike Butterick met with lobby group Federated Farmers to discuss the new climate target under the Paris Agreement. The group warned that the target could impose serious economic costs and require significant changes from farmers. Minister Watts has now committed to quarterly meetings with Federated Farmers to ensure their concerns are heard. Here's Federated Farmers Mark Hooper.
The Minister has already committed to another meeting next week when we have our respective industry council groups are in Wellington, and particularly our sheep and beef council group of farmers representing our provinces from around the country in terms of hill country farmers. They're in Wellington. Minister's going to meet with them. They're the ones that are feeling the heat the most in terms of this, so you can be sure that they're going to give them a pretty hard time around this. They would disagree strongly with the any impact that methane from their sector is having, and they're feeling like they're taking the brunt of the change required. So they're going to be pushing back pretty hard. But I think, there's a lot of technical stuff that lies behind this. We're concerned about some of the modelling that has gone into how it achieves the targets. And so those are the kind of technical things that we want to meet more regularly with the Minister with and see if we can discuss some different strategies that might help to, you know, keep us where we need to be in terms of our international agreements. But we've got to kind of pull back on the potential impact somehow because it's just too significant.
New Zealand has slipped to fourth place in Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, its worst ranking ever. According to the report, key issues affecting New Zealand's ranking included a lack of transparency and lobbying, a revolving door between government and lobbyists, and the frequent use of urgency in Parliament, among other issues. The price of gold has set an all-time record of $5,000 per ounce, prompting the West Coast Regional Council to prepare for an influx of gold miners. The council said it expects some inexperienced miners to create challenges in complying with environmental regulations. Turning to international news, in a mass protest called the Battle for Britain, farmers from across the UK have driven tractors to Westminster in opposition to the Labour government's proposed inheritance tax. The new tax would impose a levy of 20% on all farms worth over £1 million. A coalition of right-wing European parties has gathered in Madrid under the slogan Make Europe Great Again. The rally was headlined by Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban and France's Marine Le Pen. Orban told the crowd, "Yesterday we were the heretics. Today, we are the mainstream. We are the future." Days after celebrating the eradication of an alleged bird flu outbreak, Australian authorities have confirmed another case, this time in northern Victoria. The alleged outbreak, identified as H7N8, was detected on a poultry farm which is now under quarantine. Meanwhile, egg shortages have also been reported in the US following a similar bird flu outbreak.
Now to Paul's interview with Winston Peters. The big news, as far as RCR listeners are concerned, is the announcement of a new members' bill on water fluoridation and the right for communities to make their own decisions. Mr. Peters introduced this bill to Parliament yesterday after receiving a petition with more than 20,000 signatures. Let's take a listen.
Well, it was always our position in this country to ask the local bodies, local body by local body, ask all the ratepayers what they wanted, that it was a matter of democratic decision-making, not made up and decided by bureaucrats in Wellington. Then in 2021, they flipped that, the Labor Party, by themselves in a dictatorial and despotic way and said, we're going to take that right off you. Now we're going to impose this duty. And if you don't oblige, then there's going to be a $200,000 fine initially and then a $10,000 fine every day that you have not complied. You see what's happening here? And we're saying, no, you don't. We're going to put it back to the people of this country and they will decide, local government by local government.
What does it say about the attitude of our previous and current Director General of Health, Winston? It seems very authoritarian and kind of tyrannical in the approach. Is that you know, part of the job brief, do you think?
Well, if you're going to blame that person, you've got to ask, on what power or authority is she acting? And she's acting under the authority and the power given in the 2021 Jacinda Ardern-led government by themselves legislation. So you can't blame her for enforcing the law that she's been...
So she has no discretion because you can't poison people even if it's legal, can you?
She doesn't have any discretion. That's what's going wrong here. So everybody focuses on the individual doing what the statute requires of them. They don't focus on the defective, should be soon defunct statute and correct that in the first place. But, you know, that's so typical of life where people get the wrong target.
Paul also asked Mr. Peters to clarify the New Zealand First stance on the gene technology bill. With submissions closing on February 17, just 5 days away, voters are eager to know where the political parties stand on this divisive bill. Here's what Winston Peters had to say.
Well, look, the real essential here is, and it's not a cop-out, but we do have a select committee process where the public can make submissions, and we should be listening to good submissions and paying attention to new evidence. Remember there was a methane inhibitor that came out of the UK, and it sounded fantastic until we got a massive consumer kickback because there were worries about it. Now, there's no use going in that pathway. If you get that response and also in your trading partners, you get comments like, well, if that's the case, we will not be buying your product. So we're going to be ultra careful. What New Zealand First is saying is, and we put all these caveats in when we bought the bill in, New Zealand First said, yes, we're wanting progress, but we also have for decades had a view, be ultra cautious about these matters. As a consequence, we're going to look at the second committee process. We're going to hear people out. And I've had submissions myself more than any other bill of late, where I've looked at them to see what is the long-term answer, because we've got to make progress if we can. But we don't want three-eyed fish as a consequence, do we?
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that there aren't too many success stories in the space, particularly with agriculture. Medicine is being sold differently. I guess why people are very nervous about this, obviously the, I think Mark Patterson, one of your MPs, described it as first mover advantage in the space we're in at the moment. But also, we had a gene product unleashed upon us. It was claimed to be safe and effective. It wasn't tested properly. There's an inquiry into it now. It has, some would say, been a disaster. That is an incredible warning, isn't it, that?
Well, on all these things, it is a warning. But, you know, if you've got to look at medical science, things were thought of in the past that was regarded as impossible. And also in, you know, horticulture, we've seen all sorts of advances there. And we've been at the very cutting edge of it. We're the ones, for example, took a thing called, Chinese gooseberry, and we turned it into green kiwi fruit. And when it got hit with a huge disease, we turned it into golden kiwi fruit. We just made great advances. And that's what New Zealand's skills are. But be darn careful before you move, because some of these things become irreversible.
I mentioned strong protections for human health and the environment, which is mentioned. The bill, many would argue, doesn't do that at all. And I'm wondering how far it will be supported by New Zealand First. Committee stages, next reading? What's the thinking? Can you tell us?
Look, we want to make progress, but thank God Mark Patterson, in the introduction of this bill, said there are certain caveats we want answered and the select committee process should be real. We don't want to stop the world. We want to get off this. The Greens doing everybody else. They don't want to go anywhere in advancing these matters. But it's wise to know what you're dealing with and make sure that things land. And you've seen it so often in medicine where they've tried certain treatments and the thalidomide and all those things were a disaster as a consequence of a lack of caution on the way through. We are not saying no. What we're saying is let's be absolutely certain where we're going here, and the protection of the environment, the marketplace and consumers and our trade relations are critical things as well.
The level of vigilance, last question, because I can remember last year seeing the Prime Minister and the Science Minister at the time, she's not now, but the Attorney General, and then David Seymour in white lab coats, which looked like they'd never worn before, kind of promoting this, which is not their role to do. So, you know, people are probably quite rightly suspicious that they might not be listened to.
Well, of course, people will always be suspicious, and most of those suspicions are based on past experience of so-called progress, which wasn't progress, it was actually adverse to them. And so people have a right to be suspicious, but that being the case, the wonders of modern science tell us that we can make progress. I haven't got the answer for you. I hope the Select Committee process, in its serious intensity and depth, does have the and find the answers for it. But make no bones about it. Some of these things in terms of expanding their food capacity in a population worldwide going forward that needs 40% or more production now, these sort of things are critically important. So how shall I say it? Let's make up our mind on the evidence we see, not just from where we started from.
Yes, you heard it here first on RCR's Daily Brief. New Zealand First will be looking carefully at what the public and industry communicates in the Select Committee process. And of course, that process is coming to a close soon, so be sure to make your views known and take the time to share your input. RCR has done a lot of the prep work to make that as easy and straightforward for you as possible, and Natalie Cutler-Welsh has the information on where to go to find it in today's signpost. Over to you, Natalie.
Thanks, Megan. Hi everyone, Natalie here with The Signpost, your go-to for the latest RCR news, interviews, and ways to get involved. There's plenty to catch up on, so let's dive in. As you've already heard, Paul caught up with Winston Peters for a wide-ranging conversation on New Zealand's political and economic landscape, covering poll results, the fluoride referendum, visa policies, banking legislation, international relations, education, and the COVID inquiry. That full interview drops on the app today. Also out today, Paul Brennan sits down with Mark Hooper following an urgent meeting between federated farmers and key government ministers. They tackle concerns over climate targets and their impact on farmers, discuss alternative strategies, and look for what's next in the rural sector. Coming up tomorrow, Media Matters with Marie and Marty. If you like your media analysis with a side of humor, this show is for you. Marie and Marty cast a critical eye over the news stories and narratives shaping New Zealand, exposing bias, spin, and the stories that don't get the coverage they deserve. Make sure you tune in. And don't forget, RCR 360 is back tomorrow. Episode 2 dives into gene technology and what you need to know before the February 17th feedback deadline. You can head to www.genetechgamble.co.nz for a free action pack and feedback template. Only 1 week left to have your say. And thank you so much to everyone who has already done so. More to look forward to this week: Money Talks with Farzan Irani, The Fourth Estate with Marty Gibson and guests, and another sharp edition of Perigo's Perspective, looking at the Jacinda Ardern documentary. If you missed it, you can still catch the brand new Rural Report with Jaspreet and Dawn, where they break down the government's latest environmental policies and their impact on rural communities. As always, we want to hear from you. If you've got thoughts on the latest interviews or big issues, you can text us 2057 on the text or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. We are listening. That's it from me. Megan, back to you.
And that wraps up today's Daily Brief. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love bringing you our exclusive interviews, news analysis, and coverage of stories that you won't hear in the legacy media. And we do appreciate your support. As always, you'll find all the links to the interviews featured in today's episode below. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow to do it all again. Until then, see ya!